red light on that, so it might go out.
Ah, that's interesting. So
right. I'll change it if it does. We'll switch.
Okay.
Just a reminder to talk into the mic, everybody.
Okay. So I'd like to open the Board of Water Commissioners for the Kootenai Fire District's monthly meeting. It's July 20th. 2022, 5:30 p.m. Commissioner Horsley and Hoppenstead are in attendance. Commissioner Robinson was unable to make it tonight. We also have our office manager, Jen Nash, and Superintendent Chris Wiseman here. So without any further ado, we'll get to the agenda. Public comment, any public comment to start with? Okay. It's a beautiful day out there. It's a little warm, but it's really nice here. If the public would like to come sometime, we'd love to have them. We have nice air conditioning, comfy seats, and we'll move right through the agenda. I guess I would say we should skip to the leak adjustments, because I think we have a gentleman here for leak adjustments, so we're going to just rearrange the agenda a bit. Is that
So it's the very last pages of your document. Starting with the letter from Caitlin Mycock dated 7/19. So when we did meter readings at the beginning of July, we noticed some extremely high usage at this property. I contacted Ms. Mycock right away. They went right over immediately and shut off an outdoor water supply that was found, and two of our guys went over to help investigate and find where the leak might be. Found that there was a leak out back underneath the building. Turned it off immediately. Chuck, who's here tonight, went and cut and capped the service. There's a picture of that. There is documentation. Removed the handle, so there is no way that this service will be turned back on out in the backyard. No future leaks should occur there. There was no compensation from an insurance policy for any relief for the loss of water. It had used more than it had used 317,000 gallons of water in the six-month period. And as you can tell by looking at the usage, they did not turn that service on in 2021, but the leak looks to have begun in 2020 with some increased usage there. So in doing the calculation for the leak adjustment, I took the highest normal usage for this property and ran the calculation with that, if you have no objections to that. The calculations are there at the bottom of the worksheet, and it would be relief in the amount of $3,613.75. The account is current, and there is no history of prior leak adjustments for this property.
So you went back to 2020 for the normal?
I did.
Chairman, I just have a clarification question. I have a letter from Richard Andrews. I know this is that a separate one?
Yes.
Okay, that was my question. So we're dealing with two.
Yeah.
I have this.
Right.
This is the one we're talking about.
Correct.
719. What is the address of this?
Shelley.
Shelley.
173 Shelley.
What happened? What was going on back in 2012, 2011?
So that, remember, that was back when we read annually. So that's annual.
Oh, that's
usage.
Annually.
Yep.
Good. Thank you. Well, I think they had a leak and they took care of it. And I have no problem with the leak adjustment as shown here.
Yeah, just kind of understand the details. It says underground leak somewhere in the backyard. It was supposed to be repaired, so we found exactly.
So he is going to put a well in?
Yeah.
Private well? Yeah.
That's your answer. Okay. I don't think I'll have to go to Fabio.
No, not there.
Not there. The bottom of the hill.
Yeah. Right?
Because I mean, the property is the way it is showing here, and it's probably 20 feet to the bottom of the hill.
Yeah.
I thought that was a natural pond for that koi pond.
No, it's not. That koi pond was he dug that out. Yeah. He put rubber roof in that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably underneath there.
The raccoon loved it a couple years ago.
Oh.
Yeah. So I kept telling him, you can't leave the bamboo falling over the pond because the raccoon will spit on the bamboo and just grab the fish. He didn't believe me. We were down there, there was no more shiny orange fish out there.
No, this is in his backyard,
beyond
going from his house out to some spigots that he has in the backyard to help feed the koi pond if he needed to put water on the koi pond and a couple other things. So this is actually feeding from the house out. It's just an underlying feed like to an old couple spigots out back. We wouldn't, if it was our equipment, it wouldn't show up on the water bill.
Right, it would be before the meter.
So
the house used to have a well. So where the well pit is, that's where all the lines out go everywhere. And that's why they just brought the town water right to the well pit and fed it in that way. So I didn't have to use it.
Yeah.
But it was nice if you guys, the one time would come out and you attempt to help to find them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Chris is that kind of guy.
There's another young kid that was driving the truck. Up and we were talking about something and I told him I was thinking of it going, oh yeah, down here people are so different. I'm like,
nice.
So now I'm just going to buy a lottery ticket every day and when I hit the million I'll come by.
So our stuff would be just on us and of course that's prior to the meter. So we'd have to find that,
right.
And it wouldn't be metered.
Yeah, there's no. We put the meter in. That's as much as we do. Once it's private, beyond that, we can't do a thing about it. We're not allowed to even fix plumbing. Actually, we can go in and show you where it is, but we're not. You have to get a certified plumber usually, or the homeowner fixes it themselves. It depends on the situation. Yeah, we have.
In the past, it hasn't mattered whether it's indoor use or outdoor use. We did have, I think what you're thinking of is we did have one down on like Kadua Bay Drive a couple of years ago that was an irrigation leak. And we were actually going to be able to grant more relief on an irrigation leak than we were on a leak that happened inside the house.
So, yeah, somebody's outside shower.
And we did
have
a discussion about that.
Yeah, we've had one year, where somebody left for the summer. And they all got in the car, and the young kid said, I got to go to the bathroom. And the kid ran back in, and the latch hooked on the toilet. And we went reading, and nobody was even in the house. And we said, how come it's using so much water? And we went back, and it used so much. They got a key, opened it up, and you could just hear the toilet running. It was just trying to fill the bowl, and it was just going back down. And it went all winter long like that. And, you know, what can you do? The poor young kid trying to do the right thing. We're going to go on a long ride.
Yeah, I think it'd be nice to maybe differentiate between consumptive and non-consumptive uses, right?
Yeah.
Right?
So, some consistency in how we handle these things.
Yeah.
Some of them may decide not to grant relief.
Yeah.
I'm fine with this one.
I think on this one, it's consistent with what's
with
been done
policy.
In the past, and this would be non-consumptive use because it was just going for outside water use, but it wasn't in-ground irrigation. It's more koi ponds and watering. I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thank you for coming.
Thank you
for joining us.
Thank you. I'll be in touch with Caitlin tomorrow.
She's good. She is very good.
I swear I didn't pay him to say that.
All right, you can go now.
So, and there's a company up there called McNamara, from the McNamara Rubbish. And it's McNamara, two McNamara's, three sisters. Everybody called up McNamara's and said, Jimmy. So they have assigned me that you want to talk to the man in charge or the woman that runs the place. See you
now. Thank you. Chuck.
Okay. I hope Rick's doing it better.
Yes.
Okay, do you want to grab this other one right now, too, while we're on it, the Andrews site? Over on Oxford, that's another one. Okay. So that's this one.
Okay, so this one is a property on Oxford Drive. It's a seasonal home. And what happened was is the valve, they had come down, used the property, the outside... The valve to the outside faucet was on, but the garden hose had a spray nozzle on it that was stopping the flow of the water, but the hose burst while they were away. It's an elderly gentleman. His daughter, Susan, was great in helping him prepare this packet. The usage was 64,000 gallons, where their normal usage is nine in the on-season even. So. Calculating double that usage at 18,000 gallons, it would be providing relief in the amount of $300.30 for this customer. And again, it was their account is current, and there has been no leak adjustment to date. They are installing ring cameras to be able to monitor the property better while they are away, and will be better about turning off that valve.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's a hardship here. You mentioned that we should hardship, we should hear it. Have we ever done a partial, be in that way? This is not really our fault.
Right. We did do a hardship last year for a gentleman who is a seasonal worker and with COVID had been out of work at that seasonal job. We relieved some penalties in his case and then worked out a payment plan with him, so that doesn't quite provide the relief that this does, but they didn't mention it specifically.
When do you think they left the house there? Was it left open on Monday the 13th and then just shut off on the 17th, so it ran just full open for
four days, whenever the hose burst, sometime in that four-day period.
Yeah.
So it was caught relatively quickly.
I mean, you know, I think consistent, if we want to be consistent, and I think we do, it is operator error, but it's part of their water use. And
it was an accident.
I don't find any fault with the users here. They just went away and forgot to turn off the outside faucet. I mean, I know it's a lot of water for 4 days. However, it's kind of what we do with our leak adjustments. I mean, it's
something to take into consideration too is that you guys only do this for a customer once.
Right.
So I mean, it's not like. You know, if they did this again from some kind of error, if they came back,
it's on them.
It would be, I'm sorry, it's on you.
Regardless,
we were nice once. We can't be nice every time.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with this.
All right, I'll move that we approve this adjustment.
And I'll second that. Any other discussion on that? Any other information we need from them? Looks like they're not going to file an insurance claim.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a ton of money, but it's probably significant, right, in today's world. So all in favor? Aye. So,
aye. Now I can tell you this happened to me 2 weeks ago at the water department.
This happened to you?
This happened to me 2 weeks ago at the water department. I had a piece of hose that I was watering. I put a couple of squash plants out front. And I watered them in the morning real early, and I went to do it, and the guy showed up, and I turned around and talked to him. walked inside, and Matt showed up a half hour later. Goes, "Hey, your hose burst out there when you pulled up."
Nah.
It was going all. He said, "I thought we had a leak."
So it happened.
So it did happen to me
and
the other day.
And I walked in and said, "Oh, it rained this morning."
All right, two leak adjustments approved.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your mathematical wizardry there. Okay, we went to public comment. We did our matters not anticipated by the chair, which was a leak adjustment request. We have review and approval of prior meeting minutes. And I have one correction.
Thank you.
On the last page, where we, halfway through the first main paragraph there, subcommittee members will remain the same, with Commissioner Robinson serving on the bylaw committee, Commissioner Horsley serving on the policy advisory committee, but then Commissioner Horsley is also going to do the school committee.
Oh, okay.
So you can just make that change, and then okay. I can swing by tomorrow.
Perfect.
Sign this. Other than that.
Yep, I second that amendment.
Thank you.
Can we approve the meeting minutes as adjusted there.
Aye.
We have a motion to do that. All in favor was unanimous. Yeah. Jen, do you want me to just cross this out?
I did it on my notes. Thanks. I'll take care of it tomorrow for
you. You want this?
Thank you.
Okay. We have our water quality report and superintendent's report next.
All right, we had no total coal form violations for the month of June. We actually took the nitrate in, I believe, in June and got those results, but I gave a report on those last month. I did say something in error at the last meeting that I realized shortly afterwards. I did have to do another PFAS round of PFAS testing. I was thinking that I had done the four that we needed, because I had done five previously, but we never did submit. We only submitted for substitution on one of those. So actually, Monday, I did the other last results that we're supposed to do, and we're waiting results on those. So we won't be able to put in for, or actually we won't be told how we should be testing, whether it'll be once a year, twice a year, or you know, monthly, or what, every 3 months. They'll let us know then afterwards by looking at the results. On that, we did get some sodium results that are in here. We did not get all of them. We tried calling the lab. They didn't have the raw water yet. Quite high that we've had in a while. But we are pumping a lot more water than we pumped too much, and we are putting a little extra on station 5 to pump almost every day, because it's our deepest well and our best producer, and that's one that usually puts out a pretty high amount.
Yeah, the last time that one pumped sodium at those levels was in December 2021, this last December. So it's, I mean, it's a number that has shown up before, but that's pretty high.
Yeah, it is pretty high. We have notified them, you know, asked them to bring it up at their meetings and everything else to everybody, you know, to use any sand, anything but, yeah.
Wasn't that development, the one close to Station 5, weren't they required to do calcium chloride?
Yes.
By the, they have a permit there, right?
We were going to check.
I had given a letter. I gave him the address of someone to send it. First Property takes care of that over there, I believe.
Yeah.
And you sent a letter to, wrote a letter and sent it to First Property for them to bring up. I think they're the ones that take care of it. Maybe I'm thinking a different.
No, I think that's right.
Okay.
isn't the entire Cape a reduced salt application zone for the DOT?
That's a good question. I don't know if that's true or not, Tom. And actually, the other concern that you mentioned, well, okay, we're not strictly salt anymore, just stormwater pollution.
Okay. That was something in this report that the students had put together.
I remember better than I. Who was our guy from the Rural Water Association?
Bruce Young. Yeah.
He, I think he kind of deferred to the student report. I don't know if we ever got a report from him. This is one issue that I think he has heard on our experience with.
Yeah.
So one, and if we don't have staff to deal with this per se, this is really outside years ago.
Yep. To ask him to be on looking for the sources,
well,
or
I think somebody's got to communicate with the state, and maybe I'm like I said, I'm volunteering to make a call to the town. I don't know if he has any experience in dealing with the state, and maybe to answer Tom's question about is it an active salt reduced salt zone. I don't know whether that's true or not. You can look back at the suit report, I think. But my recollection is Bruce has a fair amount.
Yeah.
He's talking about those offices across the state. Maybe we could ask him if he's comfortable, let's see if he's willing to give us some more advising on that.
You know, I'll give him a call and ask and see what he can, if he knows a little more, if there's a way, you know, I don't know how much, if they'll do something. I could ask him if sodium's a concern in a lot of places. And see what get a little assistance from them on it. They usually do. He's probably due to come down soon, actually, too. He usually comes around when the fish are biting. So
on
he
Friday.
Likes to head this way, yeah. He usually has something in tow when he comes this way. But
why don't we try that? And the other option I would have is I could reach out to Tim Passifarnas, who's the staff water resource scientist at the Defense Commission. I suspect he.
Yeah. No, I know that Hyannis had some issues, and I know Dennis has a few issues with stuff. The last time I showed him, like I said, our levels, they were like, boy, I'd love to have those levels.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's how bad it is other places, you know, some of the people.
All right, so Chris, you'll contact Bruce and see
if
he's...
And I'll find out if Massachusetts has reduced sodium.
Reduction of sodium. Certain zones, particularly on the Cape, but you know, even if we could identify certain zones within our our zone 2 contribution around those wells, is where we can say, look, we got to reduce the salt application. And then Scott, you're going to check the DPW commission.
Rob Steen.
You can probably find it on Kip Cup.
Please.
There you go. That would even be easy. Okay. All right. More on water quality there?
That's what I have for now.
And the PFAS sampling you did, have we heard anything on the state's response to EPA's report?
I actually attended a DEP hour-long conference on that today to let the different water departments know what's going on. They have said that the EPA has put out levels that they cannot detect. That they're too low for anybody to detect. So they don't have a machine that'll detect it. So they said they don't think it's going to become a law because there's no way to get to that detection level.
Are they looking for total phosphorus rather than, you know,
They are looking, yeah, they're looking at the PFAS 6 basically, and they call it an X gen, I mean, a Gen X, and the, which, and.
Fluorine.
Yeah, something to that effect, which are the lesser, they called them the short strands or the small strands instead of the long strand. It's the same thing in the PFAS, but I'm not a chemist. They just said they don't think they're as bad in the chemical chain, the small chain instead of the large chain. I don't know if you know what that is. Basically, they were saying, yeah.
So the fluorine basically forms chains like carbon, right?
Yeah.
And so a long chain would be like a whole bunch of fluorine.
Right.
So
yeah, they were talking a little bit about that. But they said they were going to give me a link on the tape that they did. I had a little bit on the SRF funding there and everything else to help out if you had to do some kind of PFAS plant or anything like that. But if I get the link on it with the questions that were asked and stuff like that, I'll forward it to the both of you. I'll forward it to everybody, the three of you. And if you want to look it over just to see and keep in the loop on it, you can.
Yeah, that'd be good. Thank you. Any other questions on water quality? Commissioner Horson?
Sure can. Superintendent's report, July 20, 2022. In June of 2021, we pumped 31,411,000 gallons of water. In June of 2022, we pumped 25,479,000 gallons of water for a decrease of 5,932,000. So we haven't been pumping as much as you can, you know, it wasn't as dry as of June as it was last year. Last year it was horrible. We were into drought already, if I remember right, this time last year. But yeah, it's not going to be like that next month, put it that way. We've been putting some stress on the stations now. It's starting again.
Yeah, because we're consistently down.
Yeah, I was going to say, Chris, yeah. 3 years in a row. Do we think this is reflecting the irrigation policy?
Yes, a little bit, I believe. Yeah, I believe the increase in pricing and that are doing a pretty good effect on it.
I will note that I got sprayed by two sprinkler systems on my walk here tonight.
You did see two?
Sprayed by two on the sidewalk.
Oh. Oh my.
Cooled me off.
Well, I'll wait. I'll say something for a minute. I'll wait till I'm done in here. Let me know what I got. We did not have any services, replacement or new, or leaks in June. Our monitoring well that we keep our levels from last week was still around the 50th percentile last month, excuse me. It's between the 25th and 50th still, but it's really tending towards the 25th.
That's
instead.
More than high.
Yeah, it's getting lower and lower. It's still higher than it was this time last year, but it's on a tender going down for the last month straight. It's just we haven't got any rain. You know, it's gonna. So yeah, it's been declining since about mid-June. We talked a little bit about the lead, trying to talk about the SRF funding and everything, and I talked to a gentleman at Tater and Howard, and there's some clarification. DEP finally came out with what they want you to have. They're not going to be accepting anything unless it's a full request for application, if it's full. But they say that you can't write the application unless you have a dedicated fund for the money that you're looking for. So you would have to, right now, the way it sounds, to put in an application, we would have to go to a district meeting, ask for how much money that we think it's going to be, set up an account with that much money, go through just to have it reimbursed. They don't want an application. Now, I kind of thought today when we were talking about the PFAS money, the woman kind of said that you can wait, put the application in and wait until June to get your at your district meeting and do it. So I'm waiting for verification on this before we really jump into anything there. We've got a year or 2 years to do this, so we might, Jen had talked about it might be a little easy for us to put down on metal indication for our different services if we would have put in whether they're plastic, copper, iron pipe, you know, lead gooseneck on them, anything like that, that it could be a spreadsheet put together on it, and in spare time you could fill in, you know, a few services at a time and start doing it. So it's something that we might do in-house, that part of it at least, have the inventory done at least, and then have them put together a plan on how to replace it, how to go about it and everything else. And if so, you know, we're supposed to be doing 3% a year, so would you have to add extra money to that and a fund that was always there as an extra expense down on special appropriations? I don't know. It depends how long, because it's not something simple. You might be able to get it done in an hour or two to pick it up and replace it, but then you got to backfill, then you got to go to the next one, you got to clean up, then you got to go to the next one. So it's going to be a timely process no matter what. It's a quick repair, but a timely, you got to dig down 5 feet to do it. You got to make it big enough so that you can safely put a person down there to run a, you know, some wrenches to do it and everything.
Question.
Sure. They just got that from DEP, yes. They're the one that said they just got some of that from DEP.
Is it a new process, or is this how it's done?
They were asking about do you have to have something set up to reimburse funds. You know, you pay it for it first, and you have to have 50% of the job completed, then they start reimbursing you. Some of it's new, some of it's old stuff, but they were looking for the application to go in, what they wanted for an application. And this is how it was written, that they wanted only complete applications in. And to complete it, you'd have to have a fund available, is how they were reading it. And they wanted to get verification on that. So I said, well, I'm not going to jump into anything right away.
I'm wondering if it's worth checking on COM maybe to see if they're doing this.
I don't know.
We're going to ask the district for money.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to get verification to find if we have to do that. Yeah.
Is that specifically for lead and copper, Chris?
I'm sorry?
Is that specifically for the lead and copper?
It might be. This is what they've asked for all that money that just came out with the 1.3 million or a billion, whatever it is, that just got. There's
so
different things.
We have to, the inventory of lead service lines, so the inventory, you have to inventory everything in the ground, whether it's on our side of the meter or the homeowner side of the meter. And that inventory is due October of 2024. And if we're going to, if we have to replace 3% a year, which it'll depend on how much we have in the ground when
right.
we do the inventory, we're going to have that inventory done by the prior March to ask for funds in fiscal year 24.
Correct. And that's what I was saying to him. You know, if that's the case, and we're, are we going to be having somebody come in with a plan? Like, I don't know what else there is involved behind this. I think it's going to be the new PFAS thing going around where, you know, where you're going to be applying, everybody's going to be applying for SRF funding. There was one from DEEP, there are two different ones, I believe. One was SRF and another one, it might have been ARPA, but the fire district is not, does not get ARPA funding. It only goes to the town. Yeah, it has to go to the town, and the town does whatever they want with it.
I think that's what happened with the COVID funds too, right? Went to
yeah.
The town.
Yep. Yeah. A lot of the ARPA funds go to the town, because I know that Barnstable tried to do something with them because they're building that plant, and they said nope. You will not. You got to get it from the town of Barnstable.
So by 2024, October 2024, we have to start replacing 3% per year.
Correct.
3% of where we have lead in the ground.
Correct.
Right? Lead or copper?
Just lead.
Lead
just
service lead. Line. Just yep, lead not copper. Lead service line replacement.
So we should be doing the inventory now.
Yeah, well, my understanding is the inventory is due by October 24. They haven't set any deadlines yet. Like, they're still working on the plan.
Correct. And we actually, when they first took this out, I thought they wanted the inventory of what you had for lead in the ground. So we started right away, and I had everybody go through the records, and we have,
very little.
I think, 600, I can't remember, 380 or something like that, lead goosenecks in the ground, something like that. That's what I thought. I'm like, I'm ahead of the game. And then we took a little class, and they said, oh, no. They want to know from meter to the main what you have on the ground, and they want to see it.
They want even, like, what's in the house. If we have operators going in to switch meters out or whatever, they need to inspect the lines. We have part of it.
Yeah, so I got part of it done exactly. What they want when the people go and change the meter, what's coming through the wall?
Yep.
Is it iron pipe? Is it,
so
if you have no record of what's outside,
you
got to put it down as lead, or basically as unknown, which they consider lead. It's in a notebook. It's actually writing down the different numbers as you went through and crossing off if they've been replaced and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have another suggestion, Mr. Chairman. Being that you've done this good work ahead of schedule, I think it would be worth the effort to get it, you know, in a format that is
correct. That's our plan, at least, yeah, to make sure.
Do we have access to GIS services?
We have a couple of things. So it will be in Excel when we convert to the new Unilink system. They are well aware of this lead service line inventory that has to be done, and they have capability in that. They'll be able to put it into GIS and Unilink. That's the new billing software that we got approved for at the beginning of the fiscal year.
So they can do this.
They have the capability to track the service line materials in that database and put it into GIS, and GHD has also approached us about using GIS, their GIS program, to track our lead service inventory.
We do have GIS through, we got ArcGIS or something like through GHD, yeah.
Yeah.
And so we have had that for a long time. And
for the hydrants and things
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
It sounds like through the Unilink.
I believe it's part of the program. I haven't seen it demonstrated.
Yes, it's coming. Right. JR did quite a bit of it. I sat him down in the old files and go through one at a time. Keep going until you stop seeing lead goosenecks going in. And now I got to get them back there. And as Jen said to Jen, I said it's probably easiest if we just start with the books that we have and go backwards, because that'll give you every replacement service and everything else that we've done, at least in town, and then you can write exactly what is in there. If we removed a lead gooseneck, if we replaced copper with plastic, it's all going to be there.
So you got to figure out how many unknowns we have.
Right, and those are the concerns, are the unknowns. Because if you don't know what's under there, they're going to assume that it's lead.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to download a lot of it from the database, like pull in the account number, the service address, the date the service was installed, and things like that, and then took the headers from the class that we took on the presentation. So we've built a spreadsheet to be able to track all this. It's just
you know, I just thought of something that I get a question to somebody on, because I thought of you, Scott, actually. What about pits?
Meter pits
that are up by the road. Yeah. I have no idea what goes from that pit to your house. Mm-hmm. I know for your house.
Then it's an unknown.
But most people, I have no idea what's in the ground. I can see a piece of plastic leaving, but I don't know what comes up into the house.
Then it's an unknown.
That would be an unknown. I mean, and that's something that I'm not responsible for.
No.
But, yeah, but I am because it's from the house to the...
It will be mandated that if it's lead, it needs to be replaced.
Let's get this, let's get this first step done.
Yeah.
Unknown. An unknown unknown.
Sounds like a known unknown.
Yeah.
So the first step would be to get it into the Muni Link.
Which we haven't converted to yet. The first step is building the data, is doing the inventories.
Is doing the inventories and getting that inventory data into an Excel spreadsheet, which can then be pulled into GIS.
Which we have
and
a good jump on.
And probably Muni Link as well, because it just pull it in common eliminator.
Right. When we convert the data over from our current billing system into the new Muni Link, we'd also be able to import the spreadsheet of data with the lead service line inventory.
Is it working?
I was going to give you a fresh one, but that was right.
I just want to back up a little bit on the funding for this. So the state is saying that, there's SRF funding available for this now, or
you could start applying for it. They're taking applications as of July 1st.
So, but they just want to make sure we have an account that's set up that will be reimbursed as we spend on it. Would the stabilization account do that for us?
According to them, I had said that I might have enough. I said, depending on how much money it's going to cost to have this done, an estimate from you guys, maybe I have enough in my budget to do it. And he says, is it a dedicated fund for that? It has to say that it's a dedicated fund, he told me. Is
for
what they are interpreting.
Service line inventory.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
That's news to me. I've never heard of a town having to dedicate the fund up front to then reimburse you as a rep. But I'm not that
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying.
Yeah.
They're not clear. Maybe check with our brother over here.
I can ask around a little, and I talked to Tom Rooney for it, because he's retiring in October, by the way, too, over there at Barnstable. I could talk to him and ask him if he's getting some SRF funding for his PFAS, and see if it, you know, if they had to do anything like that over there, or if it was just they had their engineering probably do it. Whoever he's got over there right now were probably the ones who signed up asked for that. But they hadn't got the guidelines yet, and they just put out the guidelines about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago for this. So. I can ask again. Ask around a little more.
All right. Yeah, well, let's stay on top of it.
Okay.
And try to keep working diligently on the inventory. And, yeah, if we need the access stabilization fund, we can do that, but that would require a special town meeting.
Yeah.
We'd have to have a special district meeting for that.
And if we're going to have a special district meeting, we could ask for an appropriation for specifically for lead service line.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, because the thing is, when we did our, was it the SRF fund, and last time we did SRF, was that what it was with the generator?
That was hazard mitigation.
Oh, that was hazard mitigation, because that was another one that at the time the treasurer here set up a fund and paid the bills just to get reimbursed. That was a 75-25, something like that. So we had to pay the 25%. We had the 25% worth of money, but we had to pay the 100% before we got the 75% back, a lot of it.
Correct.
So we had to keep throwing a payment in, waiting so much to getting the check back and replenishing. So we ended up, the treasurer worked with us there, and I haven't talked to Ray about SRF at all or anything like that, what would need to be if it could be reimbursed. The checks could be put right back into the fund instead of general fund.
Check with Ray.
Is there a way to start a fund and say it's dedicated to it without really? No, I guess you'd have to have money in there to start paying.
Okay.
All right. Just so you guys know, we did have a motor blow on Station 5 about a month ago. I think I told you before. We did buy a brand new one and put it in. It was installed. actually last week, the beginning of last week, I think it was, they put it in. So we did get a brand new motor down there. It was going to cost me $1,000 less to rebuild the old one and rewind it and put it back in there, which is ridiculous. You know, and I just told them, you know, junk it at this point. Get rid of it, and we'll go with the new one. Because he was like, why don't you fix it and put it down for a spare in case this happens again? And I said, no. No, they actually put a loaner on there, and I was going to be paying them $150 a week to keep it. And he actually, because we bought the motor and they paid him to take and put on the loaner and they paid him to take and put the other one on, he gave us a loan for free for the month that we had it just about. So, yeah, it ended up costing us around $13,000 or something like that to get a motor and hook a crane up twice and everything else. So maybe even higher than that, maybe 15. But
so is that in FY23's
no,
budget?
No, we actually got it out of the old budget.
Correct, it was an encumbrance.
Got the contract in actually almost the last day of June, signed it, had it done, so it was in last year's money. Works out nice. Same as some other things that are in there. I think, as I'll tell you now, on Friday we're going to have some divers going into the tanks and checking them out and seeing what we have for soot in there and how and what kind of condition they're in and everything else. Instead of draining them down and having it done, yeah.
Like people,
yeah.
Put people in
they're
the
gonna,
tanks?
Yeah, they're gonna dunk them in bleach and drop them in there. Oh, yeah, underground solutions. They do it, and they can actually vacuum out the bottom. Well, they're in there. Take out.
They don't use, like, an autonomous vehicle? Or
they can. But they can do it with the water in there, and it's they could actually suck it out at the same time if they wanted. Bring a little vacuum in.
They sterilize these people.
Yes.
Right?
Actually, you could get real-time video.
It
costs Alex a lot more money, though.
Strap on a GoPro, right?
Yeah.
When is this?
This is Friday.
This Friday.
Yes.
Underwater Solutions.
They'll be at both tanks. If you want, I'll give you a little heads up when they're going.
Yeah, let me know.
Okay. All right.
I don't know what I'm doing Friday. Right? That's a tall ladder. That's a lot of rungs. That'd be good for me.
All right.
I could break out the gear, but I can't. It's definitely not sterile. I can tell you that. Wow.
And just as a side note to Chris's superintendent report, we are encumbering some expenses, so you'll see a warrant for that shortly. But we're turning back in at about $5,800 from the operating budget last year.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Just shy of.
I don't know if you've seen the signs around. We did put out the voluntary water conservation advisory. We have been putting a lot. We did have one of our stations wasn't, the pulse feeder wasn't working the greatest, so we kind of had to rely on four stations, and they're running constant. Like yesterday, two stations ran for 16 hours just going. And, I mean, it's a lot of hours for them to be running and everything, so they needed a little help to get going and everything, and we're just using four stations instead of the five. Doesn't give much of a break to, like, station one and four, which are shallower. Wells don't have that much in the bottom, and we're already down to single digits above the screen at station one, which happens sometimes. Yeah, so it happens, though, but, you know, it replenishes itself. We give it a couple days and everything, but it gets down to 8.5 feet sometimes. I think last year it was down to 4 feet above it at times. It was really making me nervous. But, so we did impose those. It's not a requirement with us. We actually did it just for our own, to try to help everybody help us out so we don't have to put any kind of mandatory stuff out. Last thing on here I have on here was our two irrigation violation people.
Yes.
One person has installed a well and has switched everything over, sent us the invoice with it, the one over on Thankful. Yeah, the one that sent us the copy of the invoice. I'm sorry.
As partial proof.
No, I don't think so.
Sorry. As partial proof of installation.
And the gentleman over on Highland has shut his off, has not used it. If you drive by his yard, it's pretty brown right now.
Yes, it is.
And I told, you know, I said, I thank you for doing that. I said, but you're coming up to, actually, I think the 15th was his date, maybe the 18th. It's close.
No, his date hasn't come yet. But
it hasn't.
The other one was the
12th. But what he did send me was the two quotes that he got from Desmond. So he says, I'm going to take one of them. One was for nine something, and the other was for eight something. They weren't cheap, I'll tell you right now. But one of them is a little, I guess it's a little better and beefier or something. But I just took those and have them. He sent them to me. He goes, just because of good faith and all. And he says, if I can't get it in, he says, by the date, he says, are you willing to keep this as a contract and me to do it? He says, or do you want me to physically have to go down there and chop it off? I said, well, you haven't been running it. I said, I could tell you haven't been running it. I said, as far as I can see, I don't want to make you do anything that's going to screw up your plumbing in your house or anything like that. As long as I know it's coming and you're getting it as fast as you can.
And you're not currently
But, you know, I said, I'm not the one that makes the decisions. I said, I'll ask the commissioners, do they want me to go over there and tell you to chop that off at the ground or what? So he says, okay, whatever.
So his intention is to put in an irrigation well.
Correct.
And if he chops that off, the existing irrigation system feed, if he chops that off now, it might be more difficult for him to do the plumbing.
Correct.
Once he gets
the new company that comes in and switches it over and everything else. Yeah.
Yeah. So
he says, I do have it off. He says, you can tell that I haven't been running it. And I did drive by and I went, ooh, that's a brand new lawn. That's just looking kind of like a hayfield right now. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay with that too. And he's a neighbor of mine, so I see. Yeah,
you're up early enough sometimes that you could tell me if it was on
soil
early.
Soil is dry. Yeah.
Well, maybe are you getting back to him?
Yeah. Yes.
Continuing to monitor.
I told him originally. I said, listen, you cannot use that irrigation system. I said, if you want to go out there and put a sprinkler out there, I said, to keep it going and move it around, I said, that's not what it says. I said, but
he can do that, right? And I've seen him out there watering by hand a little bit.
That's at least you limit. You're watching it. Then you're getting it going. You're defeating the purpose of We know where water should go.
You're controlling
usually not
where
only
the flow is going and how
right.
It's running.
It's not running out in the street like it was before.
Right. Cooling me off on the side.
Now, after the 18th or whatever, then I guess it would be sooner.
Yeah.
Post 18th, because we've already missed the 18th.
Well, his date.
His changed. That's right. Because we sent him a registered
letter. We sent a certified letter that was never delivered by the
claimed.
Post office.
Oh. We had to go and actually talk to him. I had to call him on the phone, and that's when I sent him saying, this is your notification.
Okay.
So I have to look and see exactly what that –
it's
a month
it's
later.
It's sometime this coming week, I think.
Yeah.
So you might advise him that if he's found using the irrigation system after that window closes, after that date, then his water will be at the highest rate.
Okay.
I also have a question on the irrigation policy penalties that we put in place last year. We said, you know, first offense is a warning, second offense is a fine, third offense is a fine, fourth offense is potential shutoff. Is there a time period between that first offense, second offense, third offense, or we drive by and see it going, it could be one day, the next day, the next day, right?
I would think so.
Yeah, it's an offense. It's an offense, an offense, an offense. If I walk by in the afternoon and he's got it going, it's an offense.
I had a question about it.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to. Said it's upon observation.
Is that posted?
The policy
on our website.
Right on the
I know
page.
The policy's posted, but I'm not sure if the
amended one
regulation
is.
Is it up there now?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, Chris pointed that out last week. The amended policy.
Okay.
Sounds good. That's my report.
Good. Nice.
That was a lot.
All right, we'll move on to old business. Yeah, let me know about those tires. That's interesting. And it's good that we were able to put in a new pump on Station 5. Motor.
Yes. So that was the original that was put in there with the station and with the chlorine. And actually, one of the things that makes me think that these pumps are starting to go is we have constant AC in the stations now where we never used to, because we can't get the window units that used to just come on when the pump came on to keep everything cool while you're going. Then afterwards, the place dries back out. I think with the constant AC that the windings are getting a little wet, a little moist, or something like that, and starting to, that's why they seem to be going a little quicker. Either that or the chlorine gas gassing off a little bit in there and eating at them, so it could be any of it.
All right, well, nice. We're still able to give some money back after putting in the water.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And a lot of water main leaks.
Yeah. Right. All right, old business, source water protection.
Yeah, okay. So I can be pretty brief on both of these two items together.
You make sure you're speaking into the...
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah,
I
bring it right to you. Yep. There you go. Is it on? Or did it go off?
Here, take it.
Oh, there it is.
Okay, I will address both of these agenda items at the same time.
Okay.
And there's really... next step in the program is to have an assessment done or a documentation of the groundwater flow directions to make sure that the modeling that was done by Tom Camberieri is in fact accurate, so that we can assess which properties, which septic systems are the most likely contributors. And the way we do this is we go out and produce a water table map from measuring groundwater levels. Tom's camera is very familiar with how to do this. He's provided us a proposal to do it. This is something that we did put in the budget last year, and I think it's the first step to towards implementing this program. So I would ask that we approve his proposal and get him going on this. And it is a two-step proposal. The first step is to look at what is out there now. It's an inventory of existing wells, and then he'll come back with a request for a driller to add some wells to that, but he can't do that until he knows what's out there now. So this proposal that's before us is really just for the first step to do the inventory, and I guess he'd work with you, Chris, on that, because you've got
you've
got some documents.
So that's this proposal that's in our packet.
Yes.
So we're looking at about $6,000, is that correct?
For phase one.
Yep, $6,000.
Perspective, these would both come out of the appropriation, the test well appropriation, phase two.
Or what, sir?
Or just phase two,
That's a good question. How much was the test well budget that we got approved?
$20,000,
I think. It was either 20 or 25.
I would suggest that both of these come out of that same budget, because this is really, like I said, the first step in doing that. It sounds like there'll be enough money. He's saying about $2,000 per well. Mm. So I'm hoping maybe we get than another six or seven wells.
Right.
If the one part of the task is to get out there and make sure he can get into the wells that are out there now.
Correct.
So he can get water level measures. He's gonna have to go out in the field to do that.
Right. So it's a nice little walk. We got nice little paths back there and everything.
Yeah.
Will he be utilizing any of the test wells that were put into the...
We're gonna see if they're testable.
Okay.
Yeah, basically it sounds like. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think Commissioner Horsley made a motion that we accept this proposal and move forward on it, and I would second that.
I can probably. I don't know if I had a contract page with this when it came to me. I think this was just I'll ask them to send me something to sign.
Okay.
And just make, when you do your proposal or whatever, just say that it's okay if I sign it, as long as it's this year.
And it'll be phase one and phase two?
Correct. Okay.
Coming out of that budget.
The special appropriation.
Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. So that's test monitoring and source water protection. That's great. I had something on outreach and education. I asked Jen to include this one-page letter that I composed back in May, I believe, about the fact that we are the sources of our pollution, and then we are. So if we're going to do source water protection, we need to be considerate of what we're putting into our ground, onto our walkways, etc. So I did not have time to reread this. I see you've marked it up, which is great.
Well, Mr. Chairman, what I was thinking, I think this is great. First of all, thank you for doing this. It's a great idea. Taking a great step here. I don't remember if our fellow commissioner, as we all know,
yes,
writer,
right, yeah. No, I don't know that either. So
I have some edits that I would suggest. Maybe unless there's a rush to do this tonight, Commissioner Robinson to take a look at it in advance and all of the same. But I think this is a great start. It's a good idea.
Yeah, I think that's great. I would like to get it finalized for August meeting because the homeowners associations, I'm sure, are going to be meeting, you know, in July and August, and they may be then done for the year. And if we're going to encourage them to use calcium chloride or some other substance, then we'll do that while they're around.
How do you envision distributing this? So do you want to do a mailer? Do you want to include it in the currents? Do you want to go-to homeowner association
Well,
meetings?
I think it would be good. It'd be great to get it into the currents.
Yep.
And I don't know if we have budget to put it in as a mailer,
yep,
but we'd certainly want to get it to the potential sources that were around Station 5. So you think it should go as a mailer?
If we have the people, whatever we can do, the mailer sounds great. The next bill goes out when? We just got one.
Go up till October, which will be in time for salting season for the homeowners.
Yeah.
Would it be more cost effective to put something into that mailer?
We could certainly do that. Yeah. We're doing it anyway.
The sooner the better.
And then, as you probably noticed with this excess use bill, if you received one, I put a contact update card in there to get us ready for the new billing system. So I am collecting a lot of email addresses, so I will be able to email blast.
Yeah, we may.
That as well.
That would be good, too.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of this now. We may even want to put a little teaser in here that we're developing a potential retrofit program, maybe asking.
Innovative septic systems?
Yeah, I mean, we're saying you've identified essentially septics and
right.
Salt as
yeah.
The issues, and we're all part of the problem. We could have something in here saying that the water commission is working on developing potential retrofit for replacing septic systems. Possibly some funding. Maybe asking people if they'd be interested in participating, just to kind of put it out there. That might be an option. I'm not quite sure I'm suggesting that.
Yeah, think about that.
Or an option for a second mailer.
Yeah,
a second,
exactly.
Right.
You know, this is a series of educational.
And Commissioner Robinson, I think, has good thinking on these matters on how to,
wordsmith it.
You don't want to be too early, but you don't want to be too late.
Okay.
So let's
perfect. So let's do wordsmithing as needed, and then also consider putting something into it if we're going to send it as a flyer that includes alternative and innovative septic systems.
Oh, Mark's not here. I actually received an email from Sandmail Law, which are the people who represented us with the MTVE suit when we got 1.3 mil a while back with the MTVE suit. I put a little thing in here. Everybody can read it. I sent it to Mark, and his response was, "I'm on vacation."
Good for him.
And he said, "Happy to speak next week, but you can try Tom if you want." He said, "Instead of me in the meantime." He says that, but he saw no downside to signing on to it, but defer it to Boudreaux, to law, Attorney Boudreaux. So I tried calling Attorney Boudreaux today. He didn't call back. I also called Jen Peterson to ask about, I asked her two questions. The first thing I asked her was, is the state of Massachusetts looking to have people, Attorney Healy, looking to have people, you know, go on to the lawsuit with them? And she said that she believes that they actually are joining this lawsuit, is what they said. And she was looking through it, and that was her thoughts on it, that they're actually joining into this lawsuit that's here to try to recoup some of their money to come from recouping other people's, all the funding money they're putting out. So I wanted to talk to Attorney Boudreaux about that, and I asked her, I said, in the meantime, I said, they asked me if you might be willing to talk to our attorney about getting into this lawsuit. She said, I will not do that. No way. I said, okay. She just, I'm not talking to anybody's lawyer now.
No.
I said, okay, Jen. I said, it was just an offer, an ask, you know, and everything.
She's got a lot of
things. Yeah, she's, She's got a lot of things going on. Believe me, with everything, she's on top of the PFAS, she's on top of the lead, she's on top of everything. That's another person I can talk to about it a little bit.
But it does sound like
I got a call into him today. We're actually looking for a bill from when we were talking about something else from him so we can patch up last year. And I said I did want to talk to him about this, and I would send him this Sandman. I said, do you want me to set up any kind of, see if I can set up a phone call with either Mark, myself, and Attorney Boudreaux and this Sandman, because what they want to do is get together and have a call and talk to us about this. I don't think it's going to cost us anything, to tell you the truth. MTV didn't cost us anything except for time. We sent them every result we had.
Yeah.
And that's all we had to do. Every time we did a test, we'd send them the results. So it might be the same thing. I'm willing to talk to the gentleman if you want me to see if Attorney Boudreaux can sit in on the phone call, or if one of you want to, that's fine. Okay.
It seems like
yeah.
It is, but you know, it's a legal matter.
Yeah.
We should get our attorney. So it sounds like so we get that return call.
Yeah. I mean, I could ask him to.
Is there a deadline for responding to the Sandman's?
Doesn't look like it. Just as soon as possible is all he says here, but he's got Barnstable and Falmouth. Chatham,
way more
Sandwich.
There's actually, I'll send you the email that he sent me. He has the brochure on it.
Yeah.
And he's got the state of Alaska in on this.
Good. Well, I check with Mark Boudreaux on it. If you want me to sit in on any conversation, I can do that. Certainly.
Okay. I can only have one of you do it.
Back.
That's the thing. Yeah.
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 If Mark's
so that's,
back and he's got time and wants to do that, that'd be fine.
Okay. I'll let you know, and I'll see if I can find somebody and set up something. And in the meantime, I'll forward this brochure that they sent on this. It goes into a little more. I just didn't make copies of it because there was like 16 pages, I think it is, or something like that. I didn't want to print off 16 pages, bring it in when I can send it to you.
New business lien list, number two, review.
Last but not least. So, second round of letters were sent on June 22nd. When we started this process back in May, there were 45 accounts at over $25,000 that had balances that were more than 365 days past due. As of today, we stand with 23 accounts on the list with just over, substantially over $12,000 on the list. Three of the residents have established a payment plan. If they follow that plan consistently between now and the August meeting, they will be removed from the list, so we'll be down to 21. And they do have a few more weeks to get some payments into me. So I will have the warrant in front of you at the August meeting for signature, and then it gets sent to the town for the October tax bills. So okay. This is the last warning shot, and then the final comes in August.
One of them
that's on here for a large amount of money thought that the water bill was included in part of his bankruptcy settlement, and it was not. And he found that out very late in the game. So he is more than willing to set up a payment plan and has, and we'll just wait for the end of the month for the first payments to come in.
Great.
Okay.
Any I don't think you need any action from us?
No action on it tonight, just that you have reviewed it.
Reviewed. All right, anything else? Any additional public comment? Questions? No? We're good?
Call me tomorrow. Okay, great.
All right, we need a next meeting date.
August already, here we go. The 17th is the third Wednesday of the month.
Looks fine with me. Hopefully Commissioner Robinson will confirm that that's okay. Let's set that one for now. Keep it with the third. Wednesday on the 17th. And if he's got a conflict, we'll adjust. Does that work for you?
Good. I believe so. I'll let you know after I check my calendar at work. I never carry it to my phone for some reason.
Okay. 5:30 here at Freedom
Excellent.
Hall.
And there is a potential that we may be able to do a hybrid meeting for August. I had a call from Carol Zeiss today. They worked something out for the Civic Association meeting last night, and then I had an email from Fran today that they're looking into an OWL system, which I don't know anything about. Keep me posted on that.
I don't know what an OWL system is.
I know about OWLs, but I don't know about
an OWL system.
Hybrid OWLs.
Like 6:47 to me.